What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 273 of the PS4 Blackcast. I'm JCM. With us this week is Isley.
Yo.
And Miss Zayat.
Hello.
Here we are. So we had some interesting news this week. Kaz Hirai is stepping down as CEO of Sony.
No!
I was pretty sad to hear that.
He's taking a new role as chairman. This will take place on April 1st, which is such a weird date. Why does anybody do anything on the 1st of April?
It's so that he can be the ultimate troll, and on April 1st, he'll reveal that Kaz Hirai's CEO is actually really Kaz Hirai and not a comedy writer.
There you go. It makes sense because it's the end of the fiscal year, I guess, so it's like, okay. And, you know, start of the new quarter. So it's like, all right, I guess, you know, you got Q2 of the year, but its fiscal year begins.
Does
so.
April Fool's Day exist in Japan?
I think that's more of a Western thing.
Yeah, I don't think it's that much of a thing.
Yeah, I doubt it, but Hirai said in a statement, he's like, you know, ever since my appointment as president and CEO in April 2012, I have stated that my mission is to ensure Sony continues to be a company that provides customers with Kando to move them emotionally and inspires and fulfills their curiosity. To this end, I have dedicated myself to transforming the company and enhancing its profitability, and very proud that now, in the third and final year of our current mid-range corporate plan, we are expecting to exceed our financial targets, and it excites me to hear more and more people enthused that Sony is back again. Because he introduced that one Sony strategy back in 2012, which was a cool. They sold them, you know, they sold off the Vio laptop business, they revamped their TV business, and then they prioritized its gaming division. I'm trying to remember. I thought they said who's gonna step in. I don't see it in this article. Oh, here we go. Let's see. CFO Kenichiro Yoshida will take on the role. So, I'm not familiar with that person. I'm usually not familiar with the CFOs of most companies, except my company, because I report to him. But, so that's interesting. We also got the Red Dead Redemption 2 release date is October 26th, which is, of course, the anniversary of PS2. So, I'm really curious how that will affect everybody else who comes out around that time, because typically October recently has very much been the, well, if Assassin's Creed comes out this year, that's traditionally, that's an Assassin's Creed day, and also the mainline Battlefield games comes out in October, typically late October. So we know that there is indeed a new Battlefield game this year, which everybody expected. I think it would have been more news if there wasn't a new Battlefield game, but everybody kind of expects a new Battlefield game. They'll just be, I think it was like an EA executive earnings call or something like that. So I'm wondering if that'll just be early October or what they'll do there. I mean, granted, they're not necessarily the same type of games, but this isn't like last year with Wolfenstein, Mario, and Assassin's Creed, where they're all very different. One took a year off, and then one was on an install base that was super small versus the other platforms. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one is a sequel to a game that people like. So you kind of, it was variety, where this is like, well, this is Red Dead. You figure everybody's going to get it. And it's Rockstar. So it's going to be like pretty big. So I'm really interested in what, how that's going to mess up the other companies with their game releases. But this is technically a delay too, because they said that they were going to move to spring of 2018, but now it's of course going to October. So they released a statement saying, you know, they apologize and this is just to get more polish, and it's like, yeah, just whenever, release it whenever. But
to deliberately make the developers at all the other studios panic and run around screaming.
Yeah, especially if they already had stuff in the works, like for marketing purposes, like, yeah, all this. But usually, it's kind of early in the year to be announcing specific, you know, fall release dates. You figure, if they have until E3 to come up with the release date, if they're going to show a new trailer for whatever game is coming out, then they should be okay. But let's see. We also saw that microtransactions are going to be coming back to Star Wars Battlefront 2.
In the most hilarious announcement ever.
Yeah. That'd be interesting.
Hey guys, we realized that we missed our sales mark, and it's probably due to the loot box controversy. Also, we're bringing back loot boxes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, to be so blissfully unaware of your bullshit.
I suppose that they revamp it to where a lot of that extra power and progression, you know, because you can only get the best stuff from the loot boxes. If they took that out and separated it and just made it more, I don't know, cosmetic or something. I don't play the game, so I'm not sure what other systems it has. But, you know, take out a lot of that unfair advantage that you can get from buying.
Take out all the crap that's not cosmetic.
Yeah.
That's what loot boxes should be for. They should be not for gambling money to get advantage.
Right. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. Yeah,
I don't know. I, in general, think loot boxes have just become way too common, and they've gone too far.
Mm-hmm.
There have been very few games where I thought, hey, these loot boxes are fair and were actually done well.
Yeah.
Loot boxes should just be like the little like blind bags and blind boxes of like figures you can get. They're pointless, but if you want them, they're there for you to collect them. But if you don't care about that shit, you don't need to spend all that extra money.
Yeah, I liked them in Borderlands 2, because the game was always randomized, you know, their weapons. So
I don't even remember loot boxes in Borderlands 2.
Oh, you don't remember? Man, Randy Pitchford was all about giving away the keys. He was giving away keys all the time on social media, Facebook, Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
And, but because the weapons are randomized, you just open it and it's like, you could get something good, you could get something that's kind of mediocre versus what you already have. But there was no advantage like, oh, these special golden key loot boxes always give, like, you know, a high damage weapon. It's the only way to get them. And you couldn't buy them. He just gave them away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, that was a nice implementation of loot boxes.
No, I do sort of remember that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Those were barely even loot boxes. Those were just like, I don't even know what I would consider them. I guess technically they were, but it's the way they distributed them were.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a literal loot box, but they gave out the keys for free. You couldn't buy them at all. But yeah, it was a pink box, and you go into in the town hub and boop, put in the key. But yeah, he was always giving those away. We also had the beta for PS4 firmware 5.5. Which, unfortunately, I didn't get in. I was kind of hoping to get in since I got into the last beta for 4.0, I believe it was. Maybe 4.5 as well. I can't remember. But one of the features it's adding for PlayStation Pro, apparently, is a system-wide super sampling option. So there's a lot of games that have Pro support, but they don't have the option to super sample for people on 1080p displays. So this will do a system-wide super sample for those games. Even if they don't have the option for people that still have 1080p screens. Now, it's rumored that apparently this could affect frame rate. At least I think that's what the system prompt says. I don't think it's actually been confirmed by anyone, like, oh, this game lost 2 frames or whatever. But yeah, well, that's interesting. And I don't think there's anything else giant about the firmware. I think that's one of the main ones, but it is, it kind of reminds me of the boost mode option that was on the PS4 Pro that got introduced for games that didn't have Pro support. But and yeah, what else is there? Of course, Shadow of the Colossus comes out next week. All the reviews are up now for it, of course, and everybody's.
And of course, it's getting phenomenal reviews.
Yep.
Because I didn't fuck with the game.
Yeah, some,
they just kind of slightly improved it and made it look prettier. Which is what HD remakes should be.
There's some mystery coins in it, apparently. No one knows what they do. But
loot boxes.
Yeah, that's right. You get loot boxes to get the access to the unfinished Colossi.
Yeah.
But it gives you a jetpack. But yeah, I definitely look forward to playing that game. I'll be picking that up next week. But yeah, let's that's basically it for the news. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. No, it doesn't seem like anything big.
We need a new game to play. Did anything new come out within the last couple weeks?
Well, aside from Monster Hunter, which everybody's playing, there's Dragon. It's basically just Dragon Ball FighterZ and Monster Hunter, and then I think some small stuff like Celeste and.
Is it Dragon Ball FighterZ or is it Dragon Ball FighterZ?
It's Dragon Ball FighterZ.
I'm an idiot.
I say FighterZ because it's like Dragon Ball Z. But...
That's what I thought it was.
Well, that's what everybody thought it was.
That was a joke.
But then the devs came out and said, no, it's Dragon Ball FighterZ. They've even tweeted it's FighterZ.
Every DBZ fan is like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, but I did pick that up yesterday because I had a gift card. I was like, I got to use this gift card for something because I'm not doing anything with it from Best Buy. So I got renewed my PlayStation Plus because it was going to expire this month, and then I picked up Dragon Ball FighterZ. I've only played a bunch of the tutorials to learn it. It seems very accessible for people that aren't used to fighting games, because it's a lot of, like, you could probably play it fairly well just by spamming the same, you know, attack button to do a consistent combo of light attacks, medium attacks, heavy attacks, and do all right. There's no big, like, the last big fighting game I actually played consistently was one of the Mortal Kombats. I'm trying to remember which one it was, but I played it, like, there was a stretch there where I played, like, every Mortal Kombat after Deadly Alliance. It was, like, Deadly Alliance, Deception, Armageddon, the one after that. I didn't play the Mortal Kombat versus DC U ones, but I played, like, all the Mortal Kombats. And I love the learning, picking a character and just learning the attack combos, you know, and that was always fun to me. Like, memorizing those, and, like, you get your character that you're proficient at. But this is very much basic. It's like a lot of the combo move sets are the same between everybody. It's just some of them are slightly tweaked depending on who you are. And then there is some extra stuff, like small combos you can learn. And then I'm not too proficient at the blocking mechanic of the game, which is, I kind of wish there was just a standard block button. That was something I liked about Mortal Kombat, was one of the last ones I played, was they had, you had these breakers, and you get three of them every match. And so if someone got you stuck into a, you know, 10-hit combo, you can hit R1, and it does one of your combo breakers, so you stop their combo, and then you can try to fight back, but you only got the three of them, of course. There was obviously the standard blocking button, which was, you know, just, I think it's just hold R1, and then you just put up your fist. But the way it works in Dragon Ball FighterZ is, like, you have to hit the opposite direction on the pad or with the stick to block when they're doing the attack. But you have to, like, time it just right. So it's easy when they're training you, but it's difficult when you're fighting an actually aggressive opponent. And, yeah, I still gotta finish up some of the other tutorials because I don't have all the mechanics down yet, but... It's definitely a good-looking game, but I look forward to getting into it some more.
I've been watching a ton of people stream it, and the game is just incredibly gorgeous.
Yeah.
Android 21 is best.
I haven't really decided on who I'm going to play as yet. Every time I do... The tutorials are always Goku, and I've done a couple bouts of the arcade... And I just typically do Goku, Vegeta, and Beerus. But, yeah, I gotta figure out who I really want to play as, and then try to get online at some point and just play something. That's the problem, is I know if I play online, I'll only be a little bit. As long as it has a good matchmaking system and knows, like, oh, this is your current skill level, and I can rely on that, then I think I'll be okay, as long as no one has any Smurf accounts or something. But... and then, yeah, there was that. A new patch for Fortnite came out this week. It got delayed from Thursday to Friday so they can add some added stuff. But it added a new weapon, a bunch of tweaks. Man, one of the things I wish this game would do, like, when people play Battlefield or Call of Duty, your friends list tells you they're playing, you know, game X, and they're playing mode Y. So you can see what they're playing. Oh, it's Team Deathmatch. Okay, oh, they're playing Deathmatch. Oh, they're playing Capture the Flag. But on Fortnite, the Battle Royale mode, it just says so-and-so's playing Battle Royale, there's 70 left alive. I'm like, that's great that you're telling me how many people are left, but are they playing squads? Are they playing duos? Are they playing solo? It's like, tell me which mode they're playing. Because if we're playing squads, I can maybe infer from that, oh, they have a team already. Let me go view them and see if they're currently in a party, you know?
What I haven't been able to figure out is whenever you and your cousin are playing it, one of you, it'll say like 77 left alive, and the other person will say like 76 left alive. It's never the same number. It's always one off.
Well, yeah, you figure because if we're a team, technically we can't both be the last ones alive, I guess, or like the same amount alive. So it just assigns one random or the other.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a little bit weird.
Yeah, but
I always assume that it's one of you turning on the other one and just shooting them.
No, they turned off friendly. They patched out friendly fire 2 weeks ago, which is really nice because that was a problem people have when they joined random. So I never did, like, when you can queue up for a squad but do no fill so you don't get matched up with random people. And whenever my cousin and I would play squad games, either for the daily challenge or just because we wanted to, we would always turn off no fill because you don't want to deal with that. But once they patched out friendly fire, I started doing a bunch of random squad games, and that was actually pretty, I mean, well, 80% of them are like people that just don't know what the fuck they're doing and land at like the saltiest location you could go from the start. And it's just like, why would you go there? This point of interest sucks. Everybody hates it. But they're like, hey, let's go to Tilted Towers. That's a best spot. It's like, no, you go there to die. But yeah, it's rare that you ever, like, I always mark the same spot, like, let's go here. I usually, on randoms, I wait and see if anybody picks a spot, and typically it's like, everybody picks their own random fucking location. It's like, alright, then this isn't gonna be any cohesion with this team. Like, I had one, it's just like, it's just ridiculous. Like, I'm giving them items, and then I'm like, you know, use items, they use them in the wrong order. And I'm like, ah, come on, they don't know how to build. I'm like, okay, that's fine that you're new, but come on, and they got no mic. And I'm like, all right, whatever. But
just trying to communicate with jumps and points.
Yeah, typically I like drop an item that they can use, and then I just start clapping. Just do like a slow clap to get their attention. And it's like, and they turn around, see it, and they pick it up. And I was like, yeah, use it. It'll make you give you more health. Come on. But
that's for you. Go, 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 go.
Yeah. But yeah, so that patch is there. I'll definitely need to play it today because I got to do my dailies, and then I want to check out that new weapon they added, basically a Gatling gun. And then other patches. I don't think there's anything else that got patched this week. Apparently there was an update to Destiny. Don't know what that was. Oh, there was. Battlefield 1 got a patch this week. I didn't read the patch notes because I haven't played in a while, but that was a big game that got patched. Assassin's Creed got a patch as well. Don't know what it did. But
yeah, the Destiny stuff is just another cycle of Bungie promising something, promising to be more transparent and open, doing the exact opposite, saying, sorry, we'll do better next time, and then starting the cycle all over again.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. By now, it's quite evident that they're trying to change their public opinion by PR, but they're doubling down, essentially. They took the game in the exact direction they wanted to take it. They just didn't expect people to hate them so much for it.
Yeah. Wolfenstein 2 also got a patch this week, but I don't know what that patch was for. Kind of wish the notifications menu on the PlayStation tells you, like, oh, this game patch installed. I wish it would be like, hit the options button. I can see, oh, what are the patch notes?
But, right?
Yeah.
Fucking tell me what the patch notes are. Don't just tell me it's patched. Tell me what fixed it. Right. I don't want to go digging in every game's Reddit to find out what the freaking patch notes are.
Exactly. Yeah, it's kind of obnoxious. Like, at least, because like, they do it on the for the firmware updates on PS4, like, if it's something major that's not just system stability, mm-hmm. it'll show you, like, this is what it does.
Yeah.
Because you can even, like, you can go into the games, and you can look at their update history, which shows you there some of the stuff. Like, for example, if I look at Fortnite, I can see, you know, it says version 1.4, and then it says 2.4.1 release, which is stability fixes and improve Fortnite. And it says, like, oh, Battle Royale updates, quality of life fixes, improvements. Like, it tells you in the update history menu, but it doesn't show you, like, the entirety of the patch notes. It's like, I wish the... Now, some games do. Outside of the notifications. For example, Assassin's Creed Origins, version 1.21, it tells me the hidden ones. It says improved Gamalot's behavior in the quest, the setting sun, fixed unreactive soldiers sometimes appearing in the quest, yada yada, fixed an issue with this, fixed hidden bureau icons that move on the world map when marking them, main game quests they fixed. Like, it gives you a big breakdown, but not every mm-hmm. game does that. And I'm like, I just wish... It's super rare to ever to see it, like, what they would be. But, yeah, because even like, Rainbow Six Siege, it's very basic. It's just level design fix, animation fix, UI fix, gameplay fix, localization. What gameplay fixes? What did you do? Were they gun balances? You know, it's like, give me a nice breakdown of what happened. What'd you do there? But... Yeah, it's like it's super rare. I guess maybe because Assassin's Creed is single player, so maybe that's why they do it. And where Fortnite, Rainbow Six Siege, and Battlefield are multiplayer, so it's a little more difficult. Let's see if yeah, because even well, I guess Bloodborne has a online component, but even that one just says like improved game balance, various bugs fixes, new feature the leak added. More summonable hero or hunters and co-op hunters added. Yeah, just random stuff. But yeah, I guess if the game's got super multiplayer heavy, then it's not going to show all that stuff. But yeah, I kind of wish they just... Yeah, it's like even... That's just like, to see the patch notes, please visit bungie.net/updates for more details. Like, just put them in here.
I don't want to. I'm playing on my PlayStation. It's a text file. Show me on the PlayStation.
It can't be that big. Just put it in there. It's like it's text.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Or, like, it should... If anything, just show it in the game. Like, when you start up the game after patching it, just a little notice. Like, hey, these are the things that you just patched into your game. Have fun.
Yeah, like... In Fortnite, when you load up, like, it default pops up what the new primary thing is. Like, when they introduce a new weapon, I go, new weapon added, or a new limited time mode has been patched in. And then it shows you what's coming up, and then things that are off in the on the horizon that they're working on. Mm-hmm. Now, they might not break down everything, like, all the, every minor detail of a patch, but they give you kind of they highlight the big things that have changed, that, especially when it's, like, a new mechanic. Versus something like, oh, we, you know, fixed the UI because it looked like this in rare situations. Mm-hmm. But at least with the Fortnite social media accounts, they're super active. They're active in their subreddit, and they're super active on Twitter. And they comment a lot on people's posts in the subreddit as well. So they're always like, you know, hey, here's the notes. They do dev updates, videos, and stuff like that. So they're at least they're active in their outside of the game as well, not just... like on like one, like you have to go to epic.com/Fortnite/updates or something.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's nice. I also saw that for the people that want, if they choose to get refunds for Paragon, one of the options they can do instead of money is they can get V-Bucks for Fortnite if they want instead, which is a cool option. Because then it's like if you don't necessarily want to be refunded for the main game, but you want to be refunded for stuff you've purchased, then you'd be like, yeah, you know, I've spent $10 on this stuff. I'll just get $10 worth of V-Bucks and put it in Fortnite. So I thought that was a nice little convenient thing if you're playing Fortnite, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that was a nice little option that they added. Also, is so if you're at least playing still within the Epic ecosystem, you can just transfer it over to something else that you're playing. But I saw you were playing 14. Is you just catching up on all the stuff?
I'm going to be honest. I have done nothing except fuck with the new glamour system since 4.2 came out.
Man, I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about some game. I forget what it was, but it was like, I think it was, maybe it was Monster Hunter. I don't know. It was something. And they were talking about gear that looks cool versus gear that is practical. And then people talked about like, oh, well, I like to look good in this, yada yada. It's like, I just wish I could just wear that. And I was thinking like, man, a glamour system? Do you not know about a glamour system? It was like,
right,
14, just no one's bringing up 14. Like, they're trying to come up with a game that as an example of something that lets you do that. And I was like,
14? Oh my god, even 11 lets you do that now.
Yeah, it's like there's a glamour system.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was
this new system is like, it's better than what it was before, but I'm got some hangups about it because you have your like glamour dresser now and you can make these things called glamour plates, which are like, they're just like sets of armor that you can apply to whatever you're wearing right now. It just glamours over. It's kind of like 11 where it's like you have your armor on and you're not glamouring the pieces, you're making a glamour set and just applying it to over what you're wearing right now. But in order to do that, you have to put your pieces of gear and items in the glamour dresser, and then it makes them not an item anymore, and you can't get them back. So they're just like in this like storage system. So it's become a realization that I'm stuffing my retainers with shit, not just holding onto it for glamours, but because I'm a fucking hoarder and I don't want to get rid of my items. So I'm like, okay, let's put stuff in the glamour dresser that I can get back easily if I want it to be an item again. Like from the Calamity Salvager, I can just buy it again or whatever. And it's like, okay, well, what am I really never going to use as an item? So I go through and do that. And it's just this whole process and it's very stressful. Mm-hmm. So that's all I've been doing. I haven't done any of the story stuff. I haven't even started new Omega, which I really want to do because I want to punch Kefka in his dumb fucking clown face.
How much time have you spent going through your glamour so far?
I've been doing it this whole podcast. That's what I've been doing.
But not just today. I mean, like,
since
4.2 came out.
I didn't even log into 14 until Thursday, and then I finally got on the game probably at like 4 o'clock. And I did that until about 8 or so. Just kind of sorting things out. And I've taken like every piece of gear out of my retainers and tried to stuff as much of it as I could into the armoire. Because the glamour plates work off of your glamour dresser and your armoire. So you can basically pull from those two sources. So I'm stuffing everything that I can into the armoire, and I finally got everything I could into that. And then I had to go through the process of, like, categorizing the things I'm willing to get rid of. And I'm still holding on to, like, 20 guns for Machinist. I don't play Machinist anymore, but I don't want to put them in the glamour dresser because I like having them. I'm just a fucking hoarder. That's just what I've come to realize. It's like, this is not a problem of practicality or convenience. This is just, I want to have all the fucking things.
I hope you realize in like 30 years, your house is just going to be like impossible to move through since you're going to have like figurines on the floor since you ran out of shelf space.
One of my amiibos is sitting on top of my Prompto box because I don't have anywhere to put it where I have all my other amiibos. We were supposed to buy a display case, but we decided to buy this fucking TV instead, so all of my stuff has nowhere to live now. Which is a freaking problem, because Aranea is coming soon.
Put it on top of the TV.
There is no on top of the TV. It's like an inch thick.
Just gotta get a stand for it. Or wall mount. There you go.
I thought about wall mounting it, but the wall that I would be able to mount it on has this like giant crack up it because of the house settling, and it's just like, it's pretty much just drywall. So I'm like, I'm not putting my $500 TV on that wall. But we do need a new TV stand because this one is trying its best and it's no longer satisfactory. So that's our next purchase, I guess.
Yeah. What about you, Izzy?
I haven't been playing too much. Mostly just Dark Souls, and then kind of waiting for Shadow of the Colossus to come out, and then I'll pick up Monster Hunter as soon as I get my tax refund.
Yeah, I should do my taxes tomorrow.
Yeah, man, taxes.
Get them, because you do them early, get them super quick.
It's like... But the past few months, I haven't really picked up many new games. It's sort of just like there's a ton coming up in the next like month or so that I really want to get.
Mm-hmm.
And not much before then.
Yeah, it's like every month, because it's Shadow of the Colossus this month. Next month is Far Cry, and then April is God of War, and then May is don't know. Just have to wait and see. But yeah, it's that.
Part of me is also like, I know as soon as I get Monster Hunter World, I'm just gonna have no productivity or life for like the foreseeable future, because I will play the hell out of that game.
Mm-hmm. Fuck that game. My cousin's playing it all the time now, so now I have no Fortnite dual partner anymore. I'm like, I can't play Fortnite. Like, there's one dude that I added on my friends list from playing a random squad game. Him and I won the game together. So I added my list. It's like, oh yeah, you know, me and my cousin play all the time. And it was like the Monday, I sent him an invite, but I guess he wasn't there. Even though he was kind of signed in, he was just in the main menu. So we didn't play. But then Tuesday or Monday night, my cousin installed, because you do the whole 9 p.m. install for digital. He installed Monster Hunter Worlds, and then Tuesday we didn't play. And I'm like, damn it. Like, I tell this guy that, we play the game all the time. It's like, no, I just play it. And I'm like, and my brother keeps sending me Call of Duty invites. I'm like, I don't play Call of Duty, man. Like, stop it. I told you, I play Fortnite. And yeah, Battlefield 1, we'll play Battlefield 1. But no, that's what we play. Man, there's a lot of multiplayer games I really would love to play. Like, I wish I could have almost like game night rotations where it's like, oh, Monday we'll do Fortnite, Tuesday we'll do Battlefield, Wednesday we'll do Rainbow Six Siege, Thursday we'll do, you know, yada yada. But
mm-hmm.
I would love to have like just a rotation, but there's no way that would happen. And then I'd love to play more StarCraft. I'd like to play more Civ. I like to play Civ multiplayer, but I don't know anybody that has Civ. I know one person. He plays with like a big group, and they play like big games. And I don't have time for that kind of craziness. But
you should just play Monster Hunter.
Nah, I'm just not interested. If it had like a super crazy story, I suppose maybe. But I'm just not interested in that gameplay loop at the moment.
Yeah, it's definitely just a farm for your stuff game because it's. Yeah. Play with the different weapons.
Yeah, just get a little better so you can kill something bigger to get a little better to kill something bigger to get a little better.
Yeah.
It's an effective loop.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not. I mean, I know people that love it, and like I said, everybody of my friends is playing. I just have no interest in it.
I don't think anyone really loves it. I think it's just certain people.
It's an addiction.
Yeah.
Stockholm like, syndrome.
I say I love the Monster Hunter games. I'm not sure if that's totally true. I buy all of them. I enjoy them. But man, I just get super addicted to that loot. And then I recognize and I'm like, this is horrible. And I still do it.
Yeah.
It was funny. I was listening to, since all the reviews for Shadow of the Colossus came out this week, all the podcasters are always talking about Shadow of the Colossus with their reviewer. And one of them was they were talking about Shadow of the Colossus. And then someone's like, yeah, the... spiritual successor to Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. And then I thought he was joking at first. I was like, that's out of nowhere. And he starts going, you know, a game where you just do boss fight after boss fight, and they're a puzzle, and you have to figure out how to take them out and, you know, get their weak points. And I was like, yeah, kind of same
pretty much.
Yeah.
But, I never would have thought of that before, but it's actually kind of accurate.
Yeah. But yeah, I look forward to playing Shadow of the Colossus.
So, I know that Shadow of the Colossus is a remake and not a remaster. But going into it, I guess I still wasn't expecting how incredible it would actually look. So I saw some videos of it earlier this week, and I was just floored at how gorgeous they made the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that Digital Foundry comparison was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Just showing everything.
I really want to get it.
Yeah.
I don't have time, but I want it.
Do it. But
I was really surprised that it wasn't the full $60, because they obviously put a lot of fucking work into it, so mm-hmm. that's kind of like upping my desire to get it immediately.
Yeah. I do need to finish playing more of this AC DLC. I went in and started getting like certain locations and points and stuff.
I need to get that too.
And that's fun being back in that world.
Oh shit, yeah, that did come out. I should play that. I meant to play this weekend, but forgot. And now I will never have a camel chocobo.
Oh, you missed the timed event?
Yeah.
Camel chocobo is kind of like, meh. I switched back to my regular horse.
But I switched back to the chariot. I was like, I don't need this abomination in my life.
I like the white camel or the black camel. I can't remember which one.
I like the chariots because they go really fast and they also provide hours of entertainment whenever you go over a minor pebble.
It's like, all of a sudden it turns into Halo and just vehicle fly everywhere.
Yeah, it's like they did not do chariot physics. There's no physics. It just does whatever the hell it wants.
Yeah.
There was one quest where you have to like drive a chariot away from the city or something.
Yeah.
And I remember failing on that like 4 or 5 times because I tried to like back up or something in the chariot. Doesn't work.
It doesn't go. No, there is no backing up in a chariot. There, if you're very, very careful about it, you can maybe back up, but good luck.
Yeah, I think I like went over and like one of the horses got stuck off the side of a cliff and the other one was like still dragging it, and it just looked like the horse was being dragged along before the chariot just went over. I was like, ah, fuck, I can't drive this thing.
I always run over like people or animals and stuff, and they get stuck under the chariot. I'm like, well, you're on my adventure now. Have fun.
That's funny. Like, here you are, just caught in the wheel, spinning around, ragdolling.
Yeah, you're like, this is your life now.
Thank
you. I've got coffee.
Coffee. I was trying to see if there's anything else, but let me do one quick pass.
Francis wants coffee.
Yeah, I don't see much else. As far as news, so maybe I missed some, but nope. That's it. Alright, well, I guess that'll wrap it up then. This is even shorter than last week, because there was hardly anything. I mean, aside from Kaz and Red Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Not much. I'm trying to think of when the next... Is there nothing before E3? I thought there was, but like a PAX, but I guess PAX is after.
No, I think E3 is the first big thing of the year.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess we'd have to wait.
Yeah.
Dang. Alright. Well, Rip. I guess that'll, well, actually, no, there was a trailer released for something called The Peterson Case, which take place after the Roswell incident. It's like a PT-esque game with aliens, it looks like.
What's it called? I haven't even heard of this.
The Peterson Case. The trailer came out this week, I want to say like 2 days ago. It looks interesting, but I don't remember who's... This is just the trailer for it, and I don't know much. I want to see the article, but... I don't know if there's a... Yeah, no... I can't see the article written up to find out who did it. I guess if I skip to the end, maybe that'll show it. Ah, no, it's stuck in the advertisement. All right. But anyways, there was that, but who knows when that'll be. Anyways.
Quarter Circle Games. Who the hell is that?
I think a new studio, maybe.
Indie studio?
What was the name of the people that were doing that one game that was very PT-like that they canceled, that indie game?
Do you remember? Oh, Alice Road or whatever?
Yeah. I thought maybe it was, because when they got canceled there, I thought they moved on to do something else, but I don't know.
Allison Road. That's what it was, not Alice.
Yeah.
But I think
close enough.
I think they announced that it's actually still coming out. But yeah, I know they originally started making it based off of PT, and then it stopped for a while, and then I think it's coming back now. It still is a somewhat PT-esque game.
Alright. Well, I guess I'll wrap it up for this episode, so thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Isley. Thank you, Zaya, for joining.
Mm-hmm.
And we will see you all next time.
Later.
Bye!